A Spell of Good Things by Ayobami Adebayo. Table of Contents. The Collapse of the Middle Class. Eniola's Family, the Facade of Privilege. Warala and Kunli, the Intersection. Tailoring and Charity, Political Thuggery. Honorable Fesohayate, Climax. The Night of the Raid, the Tragic Resolution and Aftermath, Key Themes and Symbols. Ayobami Adebayo's A Spell of Good Things is a sweeping and devastating examination of the widening chasm between the wealthy and the impoverished in modern Nigeria. The novel centers on two protagonists whose lives are shaped by the precarious nature of stability and the ruthless machinations of political power. Eniola, a 16-year-old boy whose family has plummeted into extreme poverty, and Warala, a 28-year-old doctor from a highly privileged background. Their parallel narratives eventually converge in a tragedy that exposes the cost of political ambition and the fragility of the American dream. In a landscape defined by corruption and inequity, The Collapse of the Middle Class. Eniola's Family. The story of Eniola's family is a masterclass in the anatomy of decline. His father, Busuyi Oni, was once a respected vice principal, a man who took pride in his professional English and his extensive library of history books. The family's stability is shattered when the state governor retrenches 4,000 teachers in a single day, dismissing subjects like history, fine arts, and Yoruba as useless for technology, science and technology. This loss of status sends Busuyi into a paralyzing depression, a darkness, that keeps him bedridden for years, staring at the wall while his family starves. The family's descent is marked by the gradual loss of their possessions. First the Volkswagen Beetle, then the television and VCR, then the sofas, and finally the three-bedroom flat itself. They move into a single, moldy room in a two-story building where they share an outdoor latrine with other tenants. Eniola's mother, Abosde, Aya Eniola, becomes the family's sole provider, wading through refuse heaps for used plastics to resell and eventually resorting to the ultimate humiliation, street begging. Abosde orchestrates a scheme where the family takes on characters to solicit pity. Eniola is forced to dress in rags and carry a sign claiming he is a deaf and dumb orphan, while Abosde and her daughter, Busola, pretend to be a blind woman and her guide. This period of begging is defined by muffled rage and a deep sense of shame for Eniola, who is often the target of the principal's whip at school because his parents cannot pay his fees. The Facade of Privilege. Warala and Kunli. In stark contrast, Warala Makinwa belongs to the elite. She is the daughter of Odinba Ademola Makinwa, a wealthy contractor, and Yeyate Christiana Alake Makinwa, a successful textile trader. Despite her wealth, Warala's life as a medical house officer is defined by exhaustion and the systemic failure of the healthcare system. She works 36-hour shifts without sleep, performing surgeries in darkened theaters where the only light comes from her mobile phone because the hospital lacks diesel for the generator. Her personal life revolves around her relationship with Lekunle, Kunle, Coker, the son of her parents' close friends. Kunle is a newscaster whose parents, Professor Babajide and Professor Cordelia Coker, represent the pinnacle of social aspiration. Kunle, however, is a deeply insecure man who failed his own medical exams and carries the weight of his parents' unfulfilled expectations. This insecurity manifests as an abusive and possessive pathology. The first instance of physical abuse occurs during Yeye's lavish 50th birthday party, where Kunle slaps Warala in front of her sister, Motara. After Warala defends Motara's behavior, Warala, desperate to maintain the miracle of her engagement and avoid the stigma of being a single woman near 30, rationalizes the violence. She convinces herself that Kunle is simply stressed, and that his subsequent groveling and attentiveness are proof of his love. The Intersection, Tailoring and Charity. The two narratives first intersect at Auntie Caro's tailoring shop, where Eniola is an apprentice. Yeye is a rich madam, customer at the shop, and she recognizes Eniola from a begging encounter at the cathedral where he had tapped her car window. Moved by a mix of pity and recognition, Yeye pays Eniola's apprenticeship fees in full, a sum his parents could never afford. This act of charity, however, coincides with a devastating domestic betrayal. Abosde, forced to choose which child to keep in school, decides to pay the fees for Busola, who is considered the smarter and more academically focused child while transferring Eniola to a tuition-free but useless public school, United Apostolic Missionary Grammar School. Feeling worthless and discarded, Eniola rejects his mother's pleas and seeks a different kind of freedom, political thuggery, Honorable Fesohaye. At his new school, Eniola falls in with Rashidi and Samu. Older students who work as boys for Honorable Kolapo Timothy Fesohaye, KTF. Fesohaye is a ruthless politician whose family perished in a horrific bus crash, leaving him as the sole survivor and heir a tragedy the community attributes to his mother's witchcraft. He is currently contesting the ruling party's governorship primary against Warala's prospective father-in-law, Professor Coker. Fesohaye recruits Eniola into his network of thugs, charmed by the boy's shared name with his dead brother. Eniola is given a knife and money, things that provide him with a lightness of being he hasn't felt in years. He begins skipping school to play jackpot and attend rallies, eventually being chosen for a special assignment to intimidate Professor Coker's primary financial backer, Odinba Makinwa. The climax, the night of the raid. The convergence of these paths occurs during a night raid on the Makinwa residence. Holy Michael, Fesohaye's chief thug, leads a group including Eniola to the compound. They set the house and luxury cars on fire and kidnap Odinba Makinwa. Eniola is paralyzed with horror when he realizes the targets are the family that was kind to him. In a final moment of desperate conscience, Eniola tries to stop a policeman from striking the gagged Odinba by slashing the officer's arm with his knife. He jumps from the moving bus and flees, effectively snitching through his actions. In retaliation, Fesohaye's thugs track Eniola to his home and kidnap his sister, Busola, as a warning to keep him silent. Simultaneously, Warala's life collapses. After Kunle discovers a journal entry where she admitted she didn't love him, he brutally assaults her, nearly strangling her and dragging her by her hair. This violence, combined with the news of her father's kidnapping, gives Warala the strength to finally break the engagement. The tragic resolution and aftermath. The search for the missing ends in the hospital morgue. Warala discovers her father, Odinba Makinwa, dead on an embalming table, his face unscarred but his life extinguished. Nearby, she sees the body of a young girl whose hair is still neatly threaded, Busola, who was found in the same bush as Odinba. The novel concludes with the foreman epilogue, set a year later. Governor Fesohaye has won the election, and thank you posters featuring his grinning face are plastered over the walls of the city. Eniola is still working at Auntie Caro's shop, a muted version of himself, who has given up on his education, believing he does not deserve school after the role he played in the events that killed his sister. Warala is left to navigate a world where her father is a memory and the spell of good things has been proven to be as fleeting as the rain on a hard rock outcrop. Key themes and symbols. The inevitability of politics. The novel argues that even those who try to avoid politics, like Eniola, are eventually consumed by its violence. The fragility of status. Busui's story illustrates how easily a lifetime of professional achievement can be erased by a single bureaucratic decree. The gendered experience of abuse. Warala's narrative highlights how societal pressure to marry can blind even brilliant women to the danger of abusive men. The rain and the outcrop. Drawing from T.M. Aluko, the novel uses the image of rain on rock to symbolize how the footprints of the powerful are quickly washed away, leaving the poor to bear the permanent scars of their passing. This summary is for educational purposes only.